Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The word of God for the Nativity of our Lord is the last verse of the reading from St. John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Where does Christmas Day come from? When did it start? And why do we Christians still gather every Christmas to rejoice and to feast? Your first response is to point out the obvious, to say that Christmas Day began when Mary gave birth to Jesus in the little town of Bethlehem, and that we still gather as a way of remembering this event. That's a good answer, and it's certainly true. Another response might be to dive into the history and development of the church's keeping of Christmas. In that case, we still gather on this day as a way of joining with other Christians throughout time and history around the world to celebrate the coming of our Savior. And that's another good answer, too. But neither of those are what we find in St. John's Gospel. St. John doesn't start with the church. He doesn't even begin with Jesus in the manger. Instead, he takes us back to the very beginning of everything. In the beginning, St. John writes in his gospel, it calls to mind, quite intentionally, the first three words of Genesis. In the beginning. So if you really want to get to the bottom of it, Christmas actually begins there. It has its origin back before anything was made, when the creation had not yet begun, back to the God who was in the beginning. Back to the Word that first spoke something ex nihilo out of nothing. Back to the Word through whom all things were made. Back to that first word, let there be light, that scattered the darkness and brought life into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, John tells us that back in the beginning, there was an eternal, personal, capital W Word, a Word of God who was there in the beginning, who himself was God, and who participated in creating the heavens and the earth, the things visible and invisible. And that Word of God has life in himself, the real eternal kind of life. And this Word is the light of the world, the true light which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That, like, sums up the entire Old Testament history all the way through St. John the Baptizer in that one verse, the true light which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The prophets proclaimed that the light was coming. John the Baptizer proclaimed that the light was coming. He was coming into the world. And then finally, St. John brings us to Christmas. And the Word became flesh. With that, the eternal Word is now the enfleshed Word. That's what incarnation means. Incarne, in meat and flesh, with bone and muscle, ligaments, organs, tissues, mind, will, soul, the whole package. God became man. But that's not all. John goes one step further. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen. St. John claims to have seen with his own eyes the one who is both God and man. And in him, St. John says that he has seen the glory of God and the revelation of God's grace and truth. And then he gives him a name. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. In another place, John repeats this claim to having been an eyewitness. He who saw it has borne witness. And again, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, that we proclaim also to you. So when St. John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he's certainly referring to himself and to the other disciples. The 12 apostles were those who were with Jesus all the way from his baptism until he was taken up in his ascension. They saw the glory of God in the Word made flesh. God's glory revealed in the changing of water into wine, in the healing of a man crippled for 38 years, in the feeding of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, in the gift of sight to a man born blind, in the raising of Lazarus after his 4-day rest in the tomb. But the thing to which all these signs pointed, the greatest revelation of God's glory and love, the fullness of grace and truth, these came hidden in the cross. John and the other eyewitnesses, the other disciples were eyewitnesses of Jesus' glorious crucifixion and equally glorious resurrection. The Word who made Adam and Eve in the beginning was out to make a new humanity that lives beyond the grave. And the one who created the heavens and the earth for the first man was here beginning a new heavens and a new earth for a new man. The Lord has bared his holy arm, Isaiah said. Mary and Joseph knew that holy arm of the Lord as the fat and chubby arm of a newborn babe. John knew the Lord's holy arm as the bloody and bruised arm of a crucified man. And he recognized its scars when he saw him again on Easter. In this Jesus, born in Bethlehem, crucified and risen on the 3rd day, in him all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. But John wrote his gospel to be more than just a personal recollection of facts about Jesus. He wrote it for the church. He wrote it so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So when he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, might the us and the we include us believers and we the church? Now it's true, we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh like John did, though we do believe his testimony. And no, we haven't witnessed the signs described in his gospel, but the Word of God has certainly revealed them to us. And to be sure, we weren't present at our Lord's crucifixion or witnesses of his resurrection, but Paul says that in baptism, we were therefore buried with him, and we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And even the author to the Hebrews says that in these last days, God has spoken to us gathered here by his Son. The Word made flesh is still among us. He is still among us with his glory. And that's the real reason that we're gathered here today. It's because the Word made flesh is the Word that still speaks to us in the Scriptures and the Sermon and the Absolution. It's because this Word is himself combined with the water of holy baptism with which you have been baptized. It's because this Word is the one whose body and blood are still given us from this altar. Yes, he still dwells among us, that the glory of God may be revealed to us. And what is the glory of God here in this place? God's glory is revealed in the right that we have to be called children of God through the new birth of water and the Spirit. The glory of God is revealed in the application of forgiveness. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. It's revealed in the Holy Supper, for Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So there it is. The Word made flesh and the glory of God are as close as your baptism, as close as the absolution that you've heard, as the Word of God that entered your ears this morning, and as close as the Holy Sacrament placed into your mouth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. In Christ, you are a new creature, and you are made for the new creation. And that's what Christmas is all about. In Jesus' name, amen.